The ILO's strong message on this really critical topic is that it's an attitudinal issue, not aptitudes. Too many societies still have an issue about women and men doing subjects that start quite young, that are traditionally seen as boys' subjects and appropriate for young men to learn. Starts with very early school age, with girls being directed even so subtly into subjects of a certain type, and boys being directed into the more scientific, numerical, adding up and categorizing type subjects. It goes through young college years, and of course it goes right through adulthood, advanced technical learning into the jobs that are actually offered to qualified or even unskilled women and men.
The ILO says that in both the developed and the developing world, the gap between men and women in this field is linked to the pervasive gender roles and attitudes that encourage girls to follow softer subjects. Can you please explain that?
Yes, indeed. Some of our research and current studies showed that female graduates are coming out in more numbers, but less than 30% of them are actually getting any kind of certificates and graduate diplomas, graduate degrees in science or technology. Now, that's a big gap. For example, countries such as Japan and Korea, who are G20 members, booming ahead, trying to rebound from the current economic crisis, some of the research shows that only 12% of female graduates are actually in those scientific and technology areas. I'd like to stress the importance of looking at exposure to choices, the, shall we say, funneling of girls into the softer subjects, as you rightly just said. But it has to continue throughout life, and it's not something that one can put into, let's say, school curricula, the training of teachers, carefully putting men and women teachers to show different options to children as they go from primary school into secondary school, into tertiary choices or vocational training. That's, of course, critical. But it has to continue throughout, for example, in government-set-up employment services, where young women, also facing unemployment as part of this crisis, are not being offered the same opportunities to go into scientific and technology careers.
Aside from starting the girls at an early age, are there other measures to remedy this imbalance?
There is something to be said for a stronger policy approach. And there's certainly something to be said for continuing through from primary, as I said, to secondary, but also in tertiary institutions. We see so many women, even if that 30% I quoted, who do come out with higher and good qualifications in science and technology, but how many actual professors are getting chairs in science? And when they do, it's usually chairs in softer sciences. How many women are actually getting the top professorships in medicine and, of course, in high-level technological university careers? One of the things our studies have shown is what's called the leaky pipe. It means that a lot of women are getting out with high-level qualifications, but they face a double challenge because they're expected to publish, to teach, to maintain enormous administrative roles as part of their tertiary careers. But at the same time, in so many societies, women are also expected to run families, and the burden of family and work responsibilities is a sexist one at the moment. So women professors who might have the most amazing intelligence and wish to further in their academic career are falling through the holes in the leaky pipe.
Do you have any examples of any success stories?
We have a few. I'm happy to say these are usually in countries where the ILO has been applying some support and technical advice. I'm thinking of some countries such as South Africa, where a number of women have been able to move with support through vocational training into more scientifically oriented jobs. We have an example in the trucking industry, typically a man's job, but with new technologies such as power steering, automatic transitions, the brakes, one doesn't have to be physically bulky and strong to control even very large trucks and transport vehicles. An example, in fact, came from Scotland, where trucking firms saw that they were short of qualified male drivers and turned to the females looking for jobs and basically gave them that extra technological training to enable them to pilot huge vehicles on very long haul routes in northern Scotland. So there you have an example from South Africa, but also an example from the European states.